Hey everybody, welcome back to call number two in our calls about the Pillars of Freedom. I'm Barry Friedman, and I'm here today with Bill Lamond, founding member of the Personal Coaching Movement. I hope you heard call one where Bill talked all about living above the line, and today Bill's going to talk about freedom from the past. So let's get into that. Bill, what do you mean exactly when you say freedom from the past?
Well, Barry, for 10 years before becoming one of the first personal coaches in the United States, I was a licensed psychotherapist in private practice. During those 10 years, I heard hundreds of people tell thousands of stories about what had happened to them that they were trying to make sense of or get rid of so that they could move on with their lives. One thing became really obvious to me, that telling the story over and over had absolutely no power to change a person in any way. They were tired of telling the story, often about people who had died 10 or 20 or 30 years ago. And frankly, as a therapist, I was tired of listening, and it wasn't getting us anywhere. Telling these stories over and over was like looking for the car keys you misplaced. If you're like most people, you've already checked your pants, purse, or jacket, and they weren't there. But when you can't think of any other place, you feel compelled to check your pants, purse, or jacket just one more time, just in case.
One more time.
We all do it. It makes us crazy, and it just gets us nowhere. Yeah. And isn't it boring? It's even boring to the people talking about it, although they're suffering in it when they do. Mm-hmm. So based on my clients, I knew that insights, rationalizations, and reliving the feelings over and over just didn't work. So I knew it was my job to invent something that would for my clients. The result is a process I want to teach everyone listening today so that they can start letting go of the past and move into a future that is their full happiness.
So you call this process you're going to talk about today a completion process. And it was very powerful when I did my 14-week coaching session with you, but I know people on the line, I felt that last week like it was some kind of a hook. What's that mean? What's that mean? So what do you mean by completion process?
Well, I got to tell you, being from a family that loves food, one day just after having a wonderful dinner, I began to appreciate how amazing the body is. Mm. It takes what we eat, it breaks it down into its component parts, and stores what is useful and beneficial, and then it eliminates or gets rid of waste products or things that would be toxic to us if they stayed in our body. Mm. I began to fantasize about the problems that would occur if I kept eating and my body had no way to digest what I had taken in. Oof. All of a sudden, I had the idea that the beliefs, experiences, and situations that people report as problems were like meals that they had finished, but the process of digestion was not complete. In other words, it hadn't moved all the way through them in the way that would be natural for them. So I looked up complete, and I looked up finished in the dictionary, and found that complete means whole, full, everything included, and that finished means ended. I got excited. I wonder if there was a way to have a person digest, so to speak, their experiences so they got the full value, that is, they felt complete, but also eliminated anything or toxic or unnecessary. That's how I first invented what I call the completion process, and it mimics the digestive power of the body. First, I said everything that was a pleasure about the belief or experience or situation and saw myself transferring that information to the muscles and tissues of my body to nourish me. Mm-hmm. I also made a mental image of putting the pleasure in a special mental library file, like the one where I store my birthday, my parents' names, the 2x2 table, mm-hmm. and other things that are permanent records for me. I don't ever work on my 2x2 table, but it's in this permanent file, so I can go to it anytime I like to get the answer. I let myself feel good and full, and I know that I've stored what's been a pleasure for me.
Gotcha. So when something happens, you want to do this completion process on it. You take in all the good stuff, and then there's also this bad stuff, this toxic stuff. What do you do with that?
Yeah, and let me just say, it's really good to start with the pleasure. As you notice, we're always starting with the problem in our culture. That's all we talk about on the news, on shows, in our learning, the problem, the issue, the thing that's not working. It's really to turn your world upside down or really turn it right side up, to really talk about the pleasure first. Because as you know, the first thing that you talk about is what colors the rest of the conversation. Start with the problem, and the whole conversation will feel like a problem. Start with the pleasure, and the whole conversation will start to feel like a pleasure. It's a small trick, but it makes magic. Now, here's what I did with the toxic material. I listed everything that was not a pleasure or useful, and then I did what our bodies do with waste products. I eliminated them. I took a breath and felt them leave my body. and I saw myself mentally deleting the file that contained them. I didn't like a baby play with my poopies. I'm not interested in doing that. I'm interested in getting my toxic material out of my body. And geez, let me just say, with deep respect for many people who have done this, the amount of time people spend with their crap or their poopies is just unbelievable, rather than focusing on what's nourishing for them. Then I realized after I had acknowledged what was not a pleasure for me, then I apologized for my part in any aspect of the belief or experience or situation, including holding on to it, which many people do. I also apologized to other people whom I blamed or whom I had hurt because of this experience or belief or situation. I saw myself sending my apology into myself and accepting my apology and then sending it out to the people I mentioned, and I felt them receive the love in my apology. Mm. That felt really good to me.
Wow.
Then, having sent my apologies, I deleted the list and felt the freedom in my body. And I love something that Catholic people say, which is a sin forgiven is a sin forgotten. So once it's deleted and once you've apologized for it, you don't need to bring it up ever again.
Well, hey, let me ask you something right there, Bill. Is this, you say you sent your apologies out to someone. Is that a physical act? Did you contact that person, or is this something you did privately?
I just sent my mental and emotional energy to them, and I thought, wherever they are right now, whether they're in this world or gone on to the next one, I want to bless them with my apology and send them my love so that wherever they are, they feel better at this moment. Now, let me just say, over the years, I have, when something has struck me very strongly, called up a person or two and said, listen, this thing that happened 3 or 4 years ago, I'm so deeply sorry. I've never had a person be mean to me. They've been so happy I've called. But it's not necessary to do that for the process, and thank you for asking that. So that took care of the toxic waste between what was not a pleasure and the apology and deleting them. Remember, all I'm left with now is the category of pleasure because I've really stored that away.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't feel complete yet. So I created a category where I thanked myself for any good things that came from the experience or belief or situation, and also thanked anybody who contributed to me. And then I sent my thanks out mentally and emotionally and saw them being nourished by it. Then, like a birthday list where you send your thank you notes and you throw the list of obligation away, I deleted the list of thank you since I had already sent them, and I freed up the energy that I was still holding in my body. So if you can hear this, Barry, everything is about only saving the pleasure and freeing up all the other energy so it's available again, just like your body does.
Yeah, you're writing a recipe here to kill the 10 o'clock news, Bill.
Well, that would be the answer to a long-time prayer of mine, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, you get rid of all the bad stuff, and man, that one human interest story about the guy who finally found his dog, it's not an evening of entertainment, but yeah.
Yeah, but could you imagine a whole world where we focus on what's positive and we fill the world with that? Our whole world would change in about 5 years if we did that.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm getting to here. So after I completed all of that, I thought, is there anything missing here? And I thought, well, it's always good to have a miscellaneous category where if you've forgotten something in another category or there's just something hanging over, you can do it. So I added a last category called any miscellaneous items. And often what I found in those miscellaneous items were emotions that I were feeling or physical sensations I were having that I didn't know how to talk about mentally, but I acknowledged them so that the digestive process was complete in me. And what a great feeling to simply acknowledge them and then delete them. You don't have to carry them around. You don't have to dramatize them. You don't have to get in your car and scream for 10 minutes. You just have to acknowledge that that's what's going on. So at the end of that, everything was up to date, all the goodness extracted, all the waste products eliminated.
Mm.
And Barry, you did this process with a compulsive behavior that went on for several decades.
Mm.
What was it like for you to be complete with it?
Yeah, I did this completion process on a phone call with about 15 other students. What happened, though, at the end of about a five-minute process, I was able to shake and literally stop to this day. It's probably, I don't know how long it's been since we did that, but I was able to turn that off as if it were never a part of my life. It was a counting rhythm, obsessive compulsive disorder, which I've read about many times, something that was beyond genius in childhood that I invented as a kid to really, it really kept me alive at the time.
Mm.
When I didn't need it, though, was for the last 40 years, and I did all the things that you've talked about. I went to a therapist to talk about it. I screamed and yelled. I drank to try and drown it. I did everything, but really what I was doing, as you talk about this now, I realize I was just giving a ton of focus right to the problem, and I had never cleaned it up. You know, you gave one lesson, you gave an analogy during our project that stuck with me. You talked about the brain being like a hard drive where bits of data come into the ears or into your eyes, whatever, and they're stored wherever just like a hard drive on a computer, the data is stored wherever it happens to land. And there's a program on every computer called defrag hard drive, defragment the hard drive, which grabs all those pieces of information and puts them into small little pockets. And that's exactly what the completion process did for me. It allowed me to grab all these bits that were just circling around my brain, organize them, get rid of what wasn't working for me, nourish myself, congratulate myself, and graduate for doing what I had done that kept me alive, and then live a life without it. And you know, that's the reason I'm still on the phone with you all this time later, is because it was just so powerful. I mean, I saw something that worked, and it grabbed me.
Congratulations. And let me just say to our listeners, you've done this completion process in your own body with every bit of food you've ever eaten.
Yeah.
You think how it is to eat food and get a bellyache and feel how to vomit it up, and you realize, oh, my Lord, the difference between the digestive process and not digesting is really gigantic. And I see people who have walked around for 50 years with emotional and mental bellyaches start clearing them up just by doing this process. The other thing I want to say about it is, if you work in a business, every week or every month you do a progress report. You say everything that you've gotten done and what hasn't worked, and are there any thank yous or kudos that have to go out. We do these. We balance our checkbook. We get regular checkups. But regarding our mental and emotional states, no one ever taught us how to do it. So that's what this process is meant to do. It's like balancing your emotional or mental checkbook so you know exactly where you are. It doesn't stop you from doing anything you want to do, but at least it makes you conscious about where you are so that you can choose something new. Mm. Does that make sense?
Oh, so much sense. I just never really heard anyone put it the way you put it, and I just love it. It makes it so accessible and really something I couldn't wait to jump on. And I remember on the project call, you used me kind of as the guinea pig, and once I was into it, I was like, oh my gosh, I don't even know these other people on this call, and I'm sitting here talking about something that's been my dirty little secret. And it didn't matter in the least. It was just so powerful to go through it and step into that and get rid of what wasn't working. So thank you for that.
Oh, my pleasure. It took you 5 minutes with that. I want everyone listening to this to really understand this and take it in. 40 years of suffering finished in 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get faster than that.
Yeah. So, Bill, we're talking about this completion process. What else can you tell us, the people listening right now, that'll kind of make it easy and powerful to absorb some of this in this short interview?
Well, you know, Barry, I've done about 23 or 24,000 completions on every area of my life, every area of my experience, everything that I was taught in the religion I was brought up in, everything, so that I have the freedom to choose my own life. And I could say that there are probably about 25 coaching tips I could give all of you, but I don't want to overwhelm our listeners, so let me give you my top six. First of all, always try to state the completion you want to do in a positive term. For example, rather than the problem I'm having with my husband or wife, which will keep you focused on the negative material, you can do a completion on my full relationship with my partner. You could start from the very first moment you met and bring it all the way up to date, and that would be very good. Then, excuse me.
How long would something like that take? You talk about this, my full relationship with my partner.
Listen, I've had people complete their whole life in 12 minutes or less.
Yeah, wow.
So most of what we deal with is people like to tell these stories, endless examples of this time and that time. If you'd cut out the story and just get to the heart of what was really great or not great, you could get all of these categories done in just a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
So here's what you want to say. If you're going to do it on the full relationship with your partner instead of the problem with your husband or wife, then in the category of what's not the pleasure, you can include the problem you're currently having. But you won't lead with it, and it won't be the main thing. You got to remember, whatever you start with colors everything else. So always start with the pleasure. Otherwise, you're locating yourself in what I call the world below the line. So that's my number one.
Great.
Number two is, if the topic you want to do a completion on is purely negative, like having been raped or having been the target of someone's hatred, you can still start with the pleasure category. But to have your pleasure be the feeling of relief that you feel completing this subject. Relief, as we all know, when you're in pain, can be one of the most exquisite pleasures imaginable. And here's my coaching. Do not make up psychological rationalizations to try to make the experience a pleasure.
Mm.
Relief is the one and only pleasure when something is very negative. And if you've ever had a toothache, like I used to get when I was a kid and the dentist would shoot Novocaine in my gum, I was ecstatic with relief. It felt so good. Then when you get to the apology, if it's a negative completion you're doing, when you get to the apology category, apologize to yourself for holding on to the negativity.
Yeah.
And when you get to the thank you category, thank yourself for completing this negative topic so that you can move on. Very important to thank yourself for letting go of it.
Absolutely, yeah.
So that's number two. Number three of my top picks are leave out the stories about whatever you're completing. I have had people do completions on their entire life in 12 to 15 minutes, as I said. It's the stories that take up the time. So just make a list in each category and save the stories that you have for dinner with a friend or writing in your journal. Mm. So try this. 4 or 5 minutes for the pleasure category. 2 minutes for what was not a pleasure. And boy, is that a switch since we usually spend three hours on that.
Oh, my gosh.
2 minutes for apology, 2 to 4 minutes for expressing gratitude, and a minute or two for anything else you want to say. People do better with a time limit because it forces them to focus rather than ramble. As we know from school, your teacher gives you a term paper that's due by a certain date. Even if you're doing it the night before, you know you have to finish it by that date, and that's a very powerful incentive to get done with it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. So number four, when you have saved the pleasure and deleted everything else, declare to yourself that everything regarding that topic is complete, up to date, nourished, fully digested.
Yeah.
Will you get more information to put in later? Probably. But for this moment, like balancing your checkbook until the next check comes in, you're up to date. And I want to say this is a universal principle. Declaration, as we know, is powerful and puts your mind on notice that what you say is the way it is for you. So please declare regarding this topic, my marriage, my job, the fever that I just had, I'm complete. I'm right up to the date and I'm ready for something else.
Mm.
No, number five, if at all possible, do not write out your completions. First of all, it will take you way longer, and second, once you've done the completion, if you look over your notes again, you will reactivate inadvertently all the material just completed. So it's like taking all the toxic waste out of your brain and your central nervous system and then chewing on it some more just for the, I don't know what, it's not delightful. So don't reinstall what you've already taken care of.
Good.
That's
point.
Number five. And my sixth one, which I really love, is teach people how to do completions. I've had one married partner learn how to do a completion and then sit down with their partner and teach them how to do it and do it on their marriage to this moment, on an anniversary or a birthday. I've had teachers teach their school kids in fourth, fifth, sixth grade how to do completions. Can you imagine at 9 or 10 years old how to know how to bring your mind up to date and feel nourished?
Only because I have an 8-year-old who I teach this to, I can imagine it, but yeah.
Isn't that right? Yeah.
Oh, it's amazing.
So share it. It's one of the processes in the world that I think if we could get 7 billion people to do one completion a day regularly, our planet would change in about 30 days.
Yeah.
So I want to say regarding this, don't write out the completions and teaching them to other people. Do completions in what I would call the open time in your schedule, when you're waiting to fall asleep, sitting in a waiting room at the doctor or dentist, on a long drive, or puttering around the house. And we have hours and hours during the day where we're not really engaged in tasks we need to do. It's the in-between time, and you could do 2 or 3 or 5 completions in that in-between time and really free yourself up completely, you know, while you're just waiting for the doctor to see you. And if you do a completion, and if you make a completion something that you have to stop and take a long time with, you'll get discouraged, and completions will just be another obligation on your list of what you have to do. Don't make it another object of obligation. It's the worst thing to do. So in our next interview, which is about the freedom to create the future you want, I will show you how to install new beliefs and experiences that give you more of the life that will be an absolute pleasure for you. So stay tuned.
Wow, Bill, and what do you say to someone quickly who hears what you're saying right now and says, man, I'm just afraid to try that. I'm afraid I'll do it wrong.
Well, this is the thing about the culture we live in of learning. Rather than nourishing, evolving, playing with the way children do, we have to be experts right from the start. We've never taken a tennis lesson, but God knows we have to hit the ball just right the first time.
Mm.
This behavior kills people off. So my thing is, do a completion, first of all, in this insane attitude that we have that once you're an adult, you have no freedom to make mistakes anymore. If you can't make mistakes, you can't learn. That's the bottom line of it.
I love you. I asked you how to get past someone who's afraid of doing it, and you said, do a completion and just do it. Perfect. I love that. That's great.
Like anything, jumping off the diving board or, you know, taking your first airplane ride, just get on the plane. They'll handle it for you.
Do it. So, hey, this is one of the main processes you taught to us during our 14-week project, Bill, and I know there's a lot of information. I mean, we spent a lot of hours on this, and I really encourage you guys listening to this on the MP3 here, wherever you're at, in your car, or you're taking a hike, listen to this interview several times, all right, and take this in. This is radically, a radically different concept than you've probably ever thought of. And just this, the ability Bill has to talk about how kind of getting behind the curtain, focusing, taking in what's positive instead of beating yourself up for what's negative. Because once you get good at this, you can literally digest the past and be free of it forever. Bill, thanks so much. I really look forward to our next interview.
Wonderful, Barry. Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.